Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
1 Corinthians chapter 11. Good to be here with you tonight. Appreciate the Lord bringing us all together.
Amen.
I didn't know if y'all saw my little junior headbanger over here, but yours got started and mine started going like this over here, and I was like, oh, Lord. And it kind of messed me up there for a minute. I got to watching him and got to laughing. That was so funny. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to begin reading at verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." As we look tonight in this passage of Scripture, I want to preach to you tonight on the lessons on the Lord's Supper. The lessons on the Lord's Supper. It's very important tonight we understand what the Word of God teaches about this. And as we look at this chapter, and we look at what the theme of this chapter is, I've had, after looking at it, it all winds up going towards the Lord's Supper here, and what the commandment is for that, and the ordinance for that. And the Lord's Supper is, number one, for born-again, baptized people saved, they love the Lord, they've been baptized. And when I say baptized, I'll make this clear, they've been baptized the right way.
Amen.
Baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right.
If it's not done in the full tank of water, it's not done right.
Right.
The person has to go all the way down,
mm-hmm.
Hold them till the bubbles quit,
yeah.
And then bring them up in the resurrection and newness of life, right?
Right.
Some of you I should have held down. But nonetheless, number two, it's one of the two ordinances of the church, and the other one being baptism, as I mentioned. And is it being an ordinance, it must be handled by ordained men, which is the pastor and deacons. And as we look at this passage of Scripture tonight, here are the lessons. Number one is the idea of the Lord's Supper. If you look down at verse 23, Paul said this under the inspiration of God, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." And this is what he says. He said, I delivered unto you. But where did he get it? I did not come from him. It come from the Lord. The ordinances come from the Lord. They're repeated over here in the New Testament after the Lord's ascension. And the only two that he did that are repeated are baptism and the Lord's Supper. So he instituted baptism in Matthew 28 to baptize them in a certain way, which is the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's why we don't baptize in Jesus' name or something like that. We baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because Jesus, who has that name, said do it that way.
Right. Yeah.
You say, what about in Acts when they did it different? Those were Jewish people saved, baptizing Jewish people into Christ and letting them know the old ways passed away.
Right.
To the Gentile church reaching converts around the world, this is how he said do it.
Yeah.
And it's very plain there how he said that thing. And the idea is, he said, I received of the Lord. And we never find foot washing in the rest of the New Testament. But if he had to put mouth washing in there, we'd sure have some of that going on, wouldn't we?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm telling you, James chapter 3 would almost give us leeway to have a mouth washing instead of a foot washing. Say amen right there.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me one time, was we a foot washing church? I said, no. And I said, I pray to God we'll never become one either. I would that you'd wash your feet at the house so I don't have to do it here. Say amen right there.
Yeah.
We're not living in the biblical times where you walked everywhere you went. You say, how do you know that? Seriously, you want me to explain how I can look around you and tell we don't walk everywhere we go?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, let's be honest here. Okay. But the idea being given by the Lord there, that he said, I received of the Lord that which also he said, I delivered you. All the ordinances come from the apostles, by the way. So it all comes from the apostles. Number two lesson about the Lord's table tonight is this, is the ingredients of the Lord's Supper. If you look down at verse 23 again, he said the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. There's one of them right there. And what he says to do with it, the bread represents the Lord's body, because he says in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. If you ever wonder why that's on the front of the communion tables, that's why, because it's done in remembrance of him. But the bread represents the Lord's body. Listen, when we pray here in a little bit and have the Lord's table, we're not going to turn this into the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be cannibalism, and that would be against God. There is a crowd that teaches that. They are sick in the cabeza, or they're full of devil's one. I bet I can tell you which one from the Bible.
No.
You want to guess? I'll tell you, 2 Timothy 4, they're full of the devil is what they are saying that stuff.
Right.
Because they're not making that bread they have into the body of our Lord.
No.
Just like baptism symbolic in the other ordinance, so is that bread symbolic in this one.
Right.
And here's a crazy thing. I look at this thing, he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. It's done in remembrance, so it can't be his actual body. We'd have ate him up the first time.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be none left.
Right. Yeah.
Are you understanding this?
Mm-hmm.
So how'd they come up with that idea? Oh, I don't know. I mean, listen, if you really want to know, I'll show you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, one of the two. Let's find it. I think it's 1 Timothy 4. I'll find it over here. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 4. This same apostle in about, 7 years down the road would tell him this. He'd tell this young pastor this so he'd know it in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It comes down to the fact that God shows us everything in his word. He didn't leave nothing for wiggle room for any of that stuff. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall do this right here, depart from the faith. Here's what they're going to do. Giving heed to seducing spirits, I feel led, and doctrines of devils. Well, a spirit taught me this, that type of thing. And it says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Now I know what crowd it is.
Yeah.
If I can find a crowd out there that won't let the preacher get a wife, I know which crowd that is. Forbidding to marry. And listen, and commanding to abstain from meats. There's several crowds that does this, but if you wonder why your public school serves fish on Fridays, because they're run by a Catholic system, a Babylonian system back from way back in Genesis chapter 11, that does not allow you to eat meats on certain days. One of those is Friday. You can't have red meat on Friday. Therefore, they serve fish. If you ever wonder why all the Baptists flock to the fish camps in the South on Friday, it's because they got a Catholic teacher somewhere telling them to. Don't get mad at me. God said it, not me. I'm just here to deliver the mail, open it for you, and show it right in your face and put your glasses on for you if I have to. I see a lot of people falling in that, and they don't even know why. We tried to have a decent meal up at the fish camp a while back and got up there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Brother Fain and Sister Shelby got up there to the place at 4 o'clock. Here was a bunch of Baptists trying to crowd us out of the way, get in the door to have a Catholic meal on a Friday. Imagine that. I said, what in the world? How did we get this far? I bet I know. Speaking lies and hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Doctrines of devils. Forbidding to marry. Commanding to abstain from meats. I won't even get in this non-pork eating crowd. They make me sick anyway.
Amen.
He said, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And he says, for every creature of God is good. Do you just read what I just read, that every creature of God is good? That includes the pig. That includes the camel if you want to eat one of them. If you like goats, help yourself. Do you know we got 4,000 rattlesnakes dumped on us in the upstate in several of these state parks? One near my house, black-tailed rattlesnakes from Texas. Why? All the people coming across the borders are killing them in Texas. They're getting almost to be extinct. I say, amen, listen, let them go.
Amen.
We got plenty of rattlesnakes out here without adding Texas as rattlesnakes. And they brought them things up here, but if you like to eat such as that, help yourself. I tried something a while back, Brother Trey. I never thought I'd try it because I never thought I'd catch one. I had some alligator a while back. Let me save you some time. It does taste like chicken, very dry chicken. I'll stick with Bojangles and KFC from now on. I hadn't lost nothing there. It was okay. It's just, but I thought, why didn't I order chicken if this tastes like chicken? I didn't understand that. I'm sure it probably was real alligator, but it could have been chicken raw. I don't know. I didn't see him kill it and skin it. Okay, I don't know. But he says this thing, every creature of God is good, and another refuses to receive with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And I look at all these verses right here, and I know exactly why a crowd can be deceived by this. They got somebody who's speaking outside the Bible telling God told them. It's a doctrine of devil. It's a seducing spirit. And there's your little precursor to it right there, forbidding American man stained meats. I know the crowd that done it to us. Therefore, I'm going to eat fish any other day but Friday and eat meats on Friday. You say, how was you raised? I was raised in a Baptist home. You know what we did? We ate at Quincy's on Friday night. Yeah. Even we had to stand outside in the rain half an hour, walking uphill both ways to get there. That's how we done it. So, amen. Jeez. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 11 before I get hungry. Quincy's, where are you at?
Florence.
Mm-hmm. How long does it take you to 3 hours?
About two?
We
get there about 2.
We could be there by 8:30 if we left right now. Anyway, as we look back over here, we got the bread representing the Lord's body. And then if you look down at verse 25, he says, after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. There it is again. Remembrance of me. And this represents the Lord's blood. We don't use any alcoholic elements in the Lord's table because in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 15 would put me under the curse of God, where it says not to lift a bottle to your neighbor's lips.
Yeah.
And if God cursed that stuff and said don't put it to somebody's lips, I'm not partaking on that end of the thing. Do you understand that? That would be wrong on my part. And listen, if I had somebody here that was alcoholic, they struggling with that thing on and off, and here you come in the house of God and I shove wine in your face, what would that make me? That would make me an accessory to your sin, and I don't want to do that to you. So what do we use? We use what all Baptists use. We use grape juice. Why? Because the Lord never used alcoholic anything. Say, well, he did in John 2. You lie. In John chapter 2, he took water and turned it into fresh wine, meaning just like he squeezed it right out of the thing. And the guy that was over the feast said he saved the best to last. Now, think about what he said. He said that the best was when they first squeezed it. You got to understand, they didn't have a Welch's back then. They didn't have a Walmart to keep it in a cooler or whatever and keep it cold and all that. So when they brought out what they thought was just squeezed, he said, you brought out the best.
Amen.
That's what John chapter 2 is. And when this crowd goes to say Jesus turned water into alcoholic wine, I got news for you. You are playing for the wrong team at that point. God condemns liquor in Proverbs 23, over in John chapter 2, Habakkuk over there. I mean, it's very clear what the Bible says about all that. And that's why we use grape juice instead of using wine or liquor or any of that other that garbage and all that. Listen. The cup represents the Lord's blood. You got the body represented. You got the blood represented. And just like I told you, that crowd says they can turn the body into the blood of the Lord. You know what words they use to do that? You'd probably hear them in a magic show. Abracadabra, hocus pocus. My father can beat your father in dominoes. All that little stuff they say like that. They're chanting words like magicians and voodoo doctors and things like that to try to summon up spirits to turn that stuff into something. It don't become the blood of the Lord. The only thing worse I can think about than eating somebody's flesh would be drinking their blood. I think that's very sick.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, God said don't drink the blood or something like that.
Right.
Ain't that something?
Amen.
Well, preacher, that's why I eat well done steaks, because I don't want that blood in there. Hey, come here, get close, let me tell you something. That ain't blood.
Right.
If you don't believe me, if you got a friend and you can stand it, why don't you go down to Brown's Packing in the morning? They do this 24 hours a day. They'll bring that big old thing in there, and they'll slay that animal, and the first thing they do is turn it upside down and get every drop of blood out of him before they go any further. So by the time it comes to your table at the restaurant, if you order a rare steak, you're not getting any blood in it. It's just rare meat. So what's rare meat means? You flip it on one side, flip it on the other, and flip it on the plate and send it on out. That's about what that is. You get little charcoal lines in at that point. Now, here's the thing. When we come to the Lord's table, we're not partaking of blood.
Mm-hmm.
is symbolic of our Lord's blood. By the way, when you take the Lord's Supper, get this one, you don't receive Christ then either.
Right.
That's for people that's already received Christ.
Yeah.
See, terminology is everything. Let me tell you what a trickster the devil is. If you walk up to a crowd that follows that and say, have you received Christ? Their answer is yes, because they were told when they partook of that, they've received Christ. That's not receiving Christ. This is a symbol till He returns. This do ye in remembrance of me. Why? He's returning soon.
Yeah.
The church was commanded to do these ordinances so we could do it until He returned. And I notice down here, we see the instructions of the Lord's Supper in verse 26. It has its when in verse 26. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. So when I look at that, and I'm seeing that thing right there, and you do show the Lord's death till He come, He said as often. It doesn't say do it every service. It don't say do it every day. It said as often as you do it. Listen, churches are supposed to do this as they feel led to do it. Listen, I'll show you something. This is really cool here, okay? I had this message with me this morning. I preached it this morning, the Savior and His cross. Right here, Luke 18. And right before I hit the button to send this to Nate when I got up this morning to put on the outline so you people can follow along at home and follow the bouncing ball and all that business, I had the blind beggar ready for tonight. And about 3 o'clock this morning, the Lord said, no, let's go this direction and do this. You go as you feel led to do it. Now, I had an argument with the Lord this morning about 3:05. I'm going to tell you what's over. Lord, now you know it's the 5th Sunday. We're supposed to be singing tonight. Y'all did know it's 5th Sunday, right? Okay. So I said, Lord, I thought we were supposed to do a 5th Sunday singing tonight. I was going to spring it on you, call on several to come up here and sing in groups and choirs and choruses. And I don't know, wasn't you going to sing tonight if I preached an hour and a half?
Wednesday.
Oh, it's Wednesday. Okay. Then I'll cut it short tonight then. But I was sitting there thinking, you know, Lord, it's 5th Sunday. We're supposed to have singing and all this other stuff. And the Lord reminded me of something. Here it is. You can sing and do this. And when Brother Billy called and said he's coming, I thought, well, I'd have all my deacons and Fane up here, because Fane wouldn't come, you sorry thing, you. And you owe me a song.
Uh-oh.
Just letting you know.
Uh-oh.
Me and you singing Wednesday night. If I had to come back there and sing, we singing Wednesday night. But I had all the deacons here singing tonight. I thought that was just cool. Lord, let me know. He'd take care of all the details. Just do what He said do. Do you understand that? How cool is that? And all of them's here. How about that? And I looked at this, and I got to look at this passage of Scripture, and I thought, man, that's just great. As often.
Yeah.
When the pastor feels led to do it, we do it. We got ordained men handling ordinances. We got the often in there. But we also see something else. It has its warning that goes with it. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So if you do this unworthily, he says you're guilty of these both them things, the body and blood of the Lord. That's not just a warning to save people. That's a warning to lost people playing church. And then he says, but let a man examine himself. Where are all you feminists at right now when it said let a man examine himself? If I was a feminist, I'd be burning my bra talking about, yeah, I should say they, shouldn't it?
Come on.
Shouldn't it say all humans, men and women, something? Where are y'all at? Hey, boy, when it comes time to get right with God and it tells men to repent, then women never say a word. Y'all as closed-lipped as y'all can be. Why is that? Oh, I know. Y'all think we sin and y'all don't. I remember now. Don't look at me like that, lady. I've been married 32 years. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Let me teach you men something about marriage just real quick like this, all right? Number one, if I'm right and Lisa's wrong, the answer to the question is Lisa was right. If I'm wrong and Lisa's right, the answer to the question is yes, Lisa was right also. If I'm wrong and she's wrong, Lisa was right. That's how you have a happy marriage. Am I telling this? I'm telling this right, y'all. If you've been married more than 20 years, you know that I'm telling you the truth. Listen to me, Nate. You listen. You need this more than anybody else does. You in danger right now. 20 years old, got a girlfriend and a job and a car.
Uh-oh.
That ain't for everybody out there, by the way. Some of you don't need a car. Who was that? Yeah, you women. I was on y'all's case, wasn't I? Anyway, I look at this thing. He said, let a man examine himself. He's talking about everybody. Before we partake of the Lord's table, we examine ourselves, and here's what we do. We go to Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, and we say, search me, O God. Amen. You let Him do the looking, and let Him search you over, and find out if there's anything between you and Him. And as the Holy Spirit points it out, you confess that thing to Him as sin, and you confess it as sin, and you get forgiven of it. And the reason being, in verse 29, he said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And this is why. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And the problem we got with the instructions of the Lord's Supper is this. Folks won't do that, and they'll partake of it, and they'll play the hypocrite, and not even get... Listen, nobody has ever asked you to confess your sins publicly.
Right.
I've never been to church and heard somebody say, before we take the Lord's Supper, you got to stand up and tell your sins publicly. And all. So why don't we do that? Well, we wouldn't have enough time. And secondly is this. Those ain't for everybody. That's for you and the Lord to get right with them. Now, normally before we have the Lord's table, we'll stop and have a time of silence so people can confess. But tonight, we've got an even bigger time than that. We've got an invitation to go before we do it. I'd do it right then if I was you. And when I look at that thing, I see the scariest verse in the Bible right there. He eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. This thing don't become the Lord's table if you ain't right with God. It becomes an execution if you ain't.
That's right.
And that's scary stuff right there. I've heard people say, well, I don't believe that, and then never take of it, and something happened. By the way, you're going to suffer either way. So if you're trying to get out of suffering, it don't matter. That suffering's coming. I've tried to stay out of it for years, still wound up with a bunch of things wrong with me. And I kept thinking, Lord, what's up? And I read the book of Job and I figured it out. It rains on the just and the unjust all at the same time.
Amen.
And if you ain't suffering, check up. Amen. Listen, check up.
Yeah.
Suffering's coming. Physical, mental, emotional, something. Something's coming your way. And the reason being, that makes you and draws you closer to the Lord when that happens.
Amen.
Listen. I watched some guys yesterday walking with canes and people in wheelchairs and walkers and things like that, and every one of them had Bible verses on them. I bet if I talked to them, I said, did you have that on before that? They said, no, I was kind of worldly for that. Now I'm getting right. That's the way that works. It's not till you go into the depths of sorrow, depression, anxieties, all this other stuff, and stuff that you think, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
God, what did I do to you to deserve this suffering? You go read 1st and 2nd Peter, you'll figure it out real quick. It's coming because he wants you to suffer, because he suffered, and that's how we follow him. And in our sufferings, we walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
In our easy times, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, it's a sad day for Christians to understand this, but Paul said, I die daily. You got to die to that suffering and follow him anyway.
Yeah.
Instead of asking him why, just ask him what he wants you to do. I ain't telling you for somebody that ain't suffered. I've been suffering for a long time with stuff. We went through a lot of stuff that we didn't have no explanation for and found it out 25 years later. And we look back at all of it and say, praise the Lord, it's been good the whole way.
Amen.
And I've heard people say, well, you don't understand my suffering. No, but I know one who does.
That's right.
He understood mine because he walked and was touched with the feelings of our infirmities like as we are, yet without sin. I can't make that statement for myself, but I can make that for him, yet without sin. God does a great work like that, and the instructions for the Lord's Supper is, we get ourselves right with God before we take it. Now here's the part that'll get you. There's some people that will say, well, I won't partake of it because I know I'm in sin.
No.
And I'll get out of suffering or get out of that part right there. Can I let you in on something that's really, really bad that you don't know the devil ain't going to tell you? And he's going to try to distract you right now while I'm saying this. If you don't get right, look over at Hebrews chapter 12. If you don't get your heart right with God and say, Lord, I confess these things to you, sin. I come to you, Lord. I ask you to forgive me. I want to get right with you. Here's the other side of that. He says in Hebrews chapter 12, look down at verse number 6. or verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Scourging, I pointed out to you this morning, the Romans called it the half death, where they'd bring a medical doctor in, and they'd have a person be beat almost to death till the doctor stopped and said he can't take no more, he's going to die. And then they would take that person, that's a scourging. Did you just read where the Bible said he scourges every son? You don't get in a place where you think you're going to die. And you know who took his pen and signed off and said, let it happen? God did.
Yeah.
You know why? You way too uppity to be somebody living in Gaffney, South Carolina, too full of pride.
Amen.
I told a guy from First Baptist the other day in a restaurant, he was talking to me, he said, your church growing? I said, yeah, and we're going to have to get rid of some, I think. I said, I'm sending them all to First Baptist, so I'm going to be uppity up every y'all. He said, oh no, we got way too many up there, stuff. He don't send them up. He said, our building floats on pride right now. He said, don't send them up there. I said, Lord have mercy, God's got a remnant in that place. Ain't that something? A man that recognized what I just told you. Can you believe that?
Amen.
Our whole building floats on pride right now. You know how much water it takes to float a building like that? A lot of pride there. Well, I'm an uppity Christian. You ain't none. Do you realize where you live? This ain't Broadway out here. This is Brick House.
That's right. Amen.
And I see there, he said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Do you know in the book of Proverbs, it tells us to correct our children if we love them?
Yeah.
Do you know why people don't correct their children? They don't love them.
Yeah.
They love the idea of having children. Some of you ladies, if you'll admit this, the night before you had your first one, you thought, what am I doing? This is going to hurt really bad. One mother knows. The rest of you won't admit it because your child's sitting here. Listen, it's okay. We wanted to take 2 and 3 back the week after we had them. Is that true? Yes, it is. She can't see. She's looked the other way. Listen. It's hard to raise children. But if you love them, you want to see them turn out right.
Amen.
Now, when you got saved, you become a born-again child of the living God. Did you know God wants you to turn out right? He really does. He don't want to see you out here shooting dope in your veins. He don't want to see that.
Yeah.
He don't want to see you out here in a car flipped upside down because you're sitting there texting on your telephone, acting like an idiot. My preacher said, you act like an idiot if you text the phone. Thank you. Put me on social media on every form of it tonight. Put on this, quote, if you are reading this, you are an idiot, end quote. Dr. R.G. Little, right there, put it just like that. If you're reading this and driving, you are an idiot. Oh, that's not original with me. In the University of Oklahoma back in the 1950s and 60s, there was a guy that wrestled there in the amateurs named Jack Briscoe. You ever heard of him? Pro wrestler around here. He said there's a sign up top of the gym, of the wrestling mat where they practice that every day. He said, if you're reading this sign, you're not wrestling. I just adapted the quote a little bit. I'm telling you, when you see God treat you as a child, you may not understand it because you were not raised right. You may not have had a parent that done you like that. You may not have been raised right. That's why when them chastenings come, we don't understand God. We think He hates us. Because we think everybody disagrees with us, hates us. We've been raised like that in America. That's foolish. Do you know I disagree with every man in here that's got hair on his head? You know why? I don't think you can be right with God and have hair on your head. It just don't seem right to me. And if y'all don't believe me, I got 2 men in this room that'll say amen right there. Say amen right there. Now, listen to me. When I see that, when I come along, when you get saved, if you wasn't raised by a father in the home and God starts correcting you, you think God hates you. God don't hate you. He's trying to get you to do right. And the only reason He would try to correct you is to stop you from doing something stupid that you're doing. Does that mean sin? Stupid and sin go together. Don't forget that.
Amen.
It's like a dollar bill. It's got a front and a back to it. It's legal tender. It happens all the time. People get crazy about this stuff, but don't... Wait a minute, preacher. Did you just call me stupid? You on to it now. You really listening now. And I would tell you I'm in that crowd, but that you would not. You just say, "Oh, I'm glad we both do it. And I'll keep doing it." Don't do that. Don't try to learn from somebody else's from your own mistakes. Let somebody else make them. You learn from them. They harder lessons learned when you do them.
Amen.
And when I go and I'm looking at the Word of God and I see that I'm doing something wrong, I know what's happening next. I got the opportunity to straighten it out myself. Because back over in 1 Corinthians 11, if I judge it, I can get it right. But if I don't, He will.
Right.
And He'll correct me on that thing. He'll chasten me to get that right.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing. God has never been guilty of child abuse, not one time.
That's right.
Not one time. To my knowledge, no one in here has. I don't know that you have. There may be something one of you may need to talk with me about later. You can talk to me. Tell me about that. You too. I don't want to hear it out of you. Your daddy's done told me enough before he passed on, went to heaven. I know. He said he should have. That's what he did tell me without telling you that. But I look at how we view God. We think if somebody disagrees with us, they hate us and all this other stuff. Quit being a baby.
Amen.
That little boy that sat over there, if he'd have said, "I want down," I'd have said, "No, call your mama. I've got something in my hands, can't do that." Would he have done it? Of course he'd have done it. You heard him singing "No" the other night when he said "No, never alone." She grabbed him, he said, "No," you know. But listen to this. If we let that little baby start sticking his finger in these outlets, what kind of parents would that make us? You know, I got third-degree burns on my hand from touching one of them iron skillets. I don't even like touching them in Cracker Barrel when they're hanging up now. You know how Lisa keeps me away from the stove? She just parks one of them things right there. That's all she got to do. I ain't going to go near that thing. I'll never forget that. I was probably 4 years old, grabbed that thing, burnt my hand real bad. Mama shoves a big old thing of butter in my hand. I'm like, "What's this for?" She said, "Oh, it'll make it be better." She calls my grandma just to make sure she knows everything put up. Grandma says, "Squirt some Bactine on there, you know." It's like that's a miracle drug or something. I ain't even bought that stuff since I got old enough to spend my own money. I don't believe in it. But I'm telling you, they didn't listen. If she'd have saw me headed towards it, she'd never let me grab it. Okay? I got a friend. He told me that when he was little, he saw the adults plugging things in outlets. And he waited till his turn. He wanted to plug one in too. And he bobbled his way over there, picked him up something. He said, next thing you know, he was laying on the ground, his diaper was full, and somebody was beating that stuff out of his diaper. He said, "Don't you ever touch that again." He said, "I think I got knocked out, and they whooped me after I got knocked out." I said, "But you ain't never done that again." He said, "No, I get my wife plugging things up now. I don't even touch them now." You don't do stuff just to beat people, just to be beating people. And God don't either. Sin causes suffering. Suffering will bring you to a relationship with Christ like you never had before. But then the craziest thing happens is that God chastens you when you're wrong so you get right. So if you go tonight and say, "Well, I'm not going to confess nothing. I'm not going to partake of the Lord's Supper because I'm not going to get right." You're headed towards a relationship with God like you don't want. You're going to know Him as a strict father right after we get out of here tonight. He'll correct you. He'll do it in such a way you'll get everything right then. But you'll get it right. You know why? He don't hate you. He knows exactly what to apply to get your attention and get you turned around. I heard a man say this one time, and I believe it's true. When God deals with people, it's like when He deals with animals. If He decides He wants a rabbit to run up a tree backwards, that sucker will be going up that tree backwards in reverse gear wide open. And as you know, that don't happen very often. It takes a pretty big animal to scare a rabbit up that tree forward, much less run him up there backwards. But if God wants him to, He will. Look back here in 1 Corinthians 11 one more time. He says in that last verse in 31, here's its warning. We say it's got its when, it's also got its warning and instructions. He said, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." And I noticed that word judge and judged works like this. You can have your sins judged by yourself and confess them to the Lord and say, Lord, I realize this. Or you can ask the Lord, since you obviously don't know any sin you're doing, you think you're walking in a perfect night. You can say, Lord, what have I done wrong? He'll show you what you've done wrong. It's this Holy Spirit of God that convicts and convinces and teaches that stuff. And He'll show you that. And then you can get to the altar and get that thing right. You can pray where you're at and get it right. But you got to talk to Him and get it right. I would advise you on one thing. When you're confessing your sins, I'd either pray to myself or I wouldn't say it out loud. If I did, I wouldn't do it above a whisper. Nobody could hear.
I know that's right. Amen.
And the reason being, we can't help you.
Yeah.
Oh, I want people to know my sin. Why would you want people to know your sin? Look, it's like you'd want to confess that and get that right and get it done, get the blood over it and be done.
Yeah.
And we look at these things. We partake of the Lord's Supper. Let's look over at Psalm 139. And hold your place here. We're going to look at verse 28 at the same time. I want to show you this before we get through this thing. If you looked at it, verse 23, Psalm 139, verse 23. He says over here, in these two verses here, remember we just read over here, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread, drink of that cup. And he said, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Psalm 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What do we want God to do? We want God to do the searching. We want God to do the searching. What does He do when He does the searching? He finds it.
Amen. Amen.
When Jesus said, I am the light of this world, it exposes all the darkness. Any darkness you harboring against something or somebody, God wants that thing out of there. He wants you to do great things for Him, and He wants you to do them to His glory. Now, we say over here, we say, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Listen, it comes a time of self-judgment. And what happens when we do that? We put it in His hands. We let Him tell us. We say, Lord, it's not a mistake, it's a sin. It's not everybody's doing it, Lord, it's a sin. Until it becomes personal to you, you see that God's, you see that thing had to go on a cross and Jesus had to die for it, it'll never be personal to you. Okay? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. She's gonna come.